Father, we come today to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God. We thank you for this day, this gathering, this time of fellowship and study time. This time, Father, that you have allowed us to set aside to be together, though it may be virtually at this time, this point, this season. We're so thankful that we still have an opportunity to be together to study your word. So, as we have joined here today for the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship Study Hour, we pray your presence in our midst, that you will open our hearts and our minds, that we may receive all that you have for us, O God. And as we delve into your word on today, God, we pray, Lord God, that you will give us illumination. That's right. Reveal your word. Reveal the message. Reveal the teaching, the practical application that we can gain from it, that we may grow and become and mature and be the people that you're calling for in these days. We want to be lights, oh Lord God. We want to be able to shine in dark places. So God, help us and keep us, Lord God, and help us to be strong, Father God, that we can stand, Lord God, as beacons of light, Father, pointing the way to you. That's it. Pointing the way to you. So bless us now, we pray. Bless the word as we study it, Lord God, that it may find a lodging place in our hearts. We do ask right now. Remember those among us that needs a special touch from you. Oh, Lord God, those that may even join later, at a later date, we pray that you would bless them right now, God, in Jesus' name. Have your way, God, in our lives. We do ask in Jesus' wonderful name. We want to thank you for joining us here this morning for our every Sunday morning Bible study time. You have joined the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship, and I'm Elder Mary Ellis, and if you are listening to this taping at a much later date, we thank God that God has allowed us to come together to study his word, and we pray that you are blessed by this study time. We are starting a new teaching lesson, a new lesson on today, this month. And for those of you that have your lesson, we will be talking about today the teachings of James and seeing Jesus in his teaching. So the title of our lesson today is Seeing Jesus in the Teachings of James. Alrighty, we're going to use as our foundational verse the verse found in John 1 and 17, which says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Let me repeat that and say that once more to you. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. And so today, we want to explore the book of James, not in its entirety, but go through it, walk through it, and see where James was able to emulate the teachings of Jesus that we find in the gospel, particularly the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus spoke in his time. Amen. So that's what we hope to be able to do with this lesson. For those of you that don't have your lesson at hand, write these verses down. We're going to be in the book of James and the book of Matthew. So put your open your Bible to James chapter 1. That's where we're going to be for a while. We're going to explore some verses in James chapter 1. And then put a mark or your finger in Matthew 5. All right, so we're going to be talking about some verses in James chapter 1. And then we're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 5 for now. All righty. Okay, let me give you a little background on the book of James. It is a book that we've studied in the past in our Bible Breakfast Fellowship, so we are familiar with it. But this book of James is a reminder to believers that faith must produce good fruit. Let me say that one more again. The book of James is a reminder to believers that faith must produce good fruit. The writer urges the readers to live out their faith and to display a living, active faith. Come on here, somebody. We know that we can talk it, but we got to also show it. The writer emphasizes the themes of faith, of testing, of wisdom, and doing. One biblical commentary tells us that the message of the book is clear. Here it is: go and do good things for others rather than just talking about it. Can I get an amen, somebody? Praise the Lord. So we see that this book is a book that exhorts us to action and not just sit down on our seats of do nothing. We know the person that wrote this book was connected to Jesus. He was the half-brother of our Lord and Savior. And we know him to also serve in the capacity as a leader. He was a devout Jew, and he wrote this book to a particular group of individuals. So this book shows us a special familiarity with the teachings of Jesus. And that's why this lesson is focusing on that, because it is evident in the book of James that he saw something or heard something in the life of Jesus' teachings and preaching that he was able to grasp hold to and share with others. Most scholars would agree that the author of this book is the half-brother or the brother of Jesus, named James. And if we were to search the scriptures, we would see in Galatians 1, 18 and 19, a reference to James being Jesus' brothers, and then also Acts 15, verses 13 to 15, and also verse 19, again, talking about James. And James, as we said, was a leader in the church at Jerusalem. And according to tradition, he was also designated at a later date the first bishop of this Jerusalem assembly. And James had great authority and leadership in the early church. So right there, we see a connection with the teachings of Jesus and the writings of James. Just the family connection is right there to show us that he was able to grasp hold to what Jesus was saying. So in our lesson, we want to highlight these important teachings that we find in the book of James and their similarity with the teachings that we will see in the gospel account of Matthew, dealing particularly with the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus shared his thoughts, his teachings, his revelation of what it was the scriptures were teaching the individuals right there at the Sermon on the Mount. And it is recorded in a couple of the Gospels, but we're going to deal with the one in Matthew's. Scholars tell us that James does not directly quote Jesus. He doesn't say Jesus said this and then verbatim write what Jesus says. No, we see him alluding to the same teachings that Jesus taught and saying what Jesus said in a different way or a different manner. So as we study both of these teachings, we will see the parallel or the symmetry or the similarity we find in both. So parallel may be an unusual word for us. We don't normally think about it, especially when we're studying material. But if you wanted to jot down in your lesson so you would remember it when you see it again, that what we're talking about when we say the parallelism of these two teachings is the similarity. That's the word you want to insert there so that you can go back and study again. You'll remember what it meant. Yes, we're talking about the similarity, the sameness in thought. Maybe not in words, but the sameness in thought between the two teachings that we're going to talk about today as we see them in the book of James and in the teaching of Jesus. Alrighty, let me also point this out to everyone, and it may be something you know, and so forgive me if it sounds redundant or it sounds as if I'm telling it as you don't know it. But let's just make sure we all are aware that though we list this book and call it a book, it is actually a letter written by James. History says it was written perhaps around AD 49 to Christian Jews. James 1 and 1 talks about who he was writing this particular letter to. And it reads, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Researchers and historians and scholars have identified, mostly agree, that those 12 tribes scattered abroad are Christian Jews that were sent out or dispersed or ran from the persecution and found themselves all over the known world at that time. So James is writing to those groups of individuals all over the land. Amen, somebody. Praise God. So let's go on in our lesson and see what we can discover on today. Now, many of you that were a part of our earlier teaching on the book of James will find this so familiar. And I even got a little tickle as I was even putting pen to paper at some of the thoughts that came back to mind as I was gathering in this lesson. Because we know that the book of James offers us some good stuff. Amen? We know that. It is some good stuff in there for effective Christian living. Come on. You all remember some of the things that we talked about in our former class on James. We talked about being hearers and doers of the word. We talked about that faith without works is dead. And this is one we all jumped on. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. Those are just a few I'm going to name because we're going to probably touch on some more as we continue our study. But let me ask you to do this. That's right. If you don't have your lesson in front of you, jot it down on a piece of paper. Write down this question so you can answer it later because I'm going to come back to you with this and ask you to give me the answer. Here's the particular question. What is your favorite teaching or verse from James? What is your favorite teaching or verse from James? I want you to jot it down somewhere so when I ask you again, you'll be able to tell me. Think about it for a moment. What's your favorite teaching that you recall from the book of James? Or what's your favorite verse that you have used over and over from the book of James? And then here's another question I want you to think. Why was that verse important to you? Why was that verse important to you? Has this teaching caused you to change in any way? Has it made a difference in your life? And in what ways have you put that teaching into practical application? In other words, how are you using that teaching in your life? Or how is that verse affecting your daily living? Think about that. And when I come back, because I am, when I come back to you with those two questions, please be able to share with us. We want to hear. Because again, James is a familiar book and we've studied it previously and to go back into it, it is going to be a joy because it'll build upon what we already have. Amen? All right. So keep those two questions in mind, and we're going to come back and check with you on those answers. All right. Go to James 1 and 21. I'm going to read it in your hearing, but if you have your Bible open, go to James 1 and 21. Here it is. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Let me read it again in your hearing. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." Think about that verse there for a moment. What is James saying to us? What does James say that we need to receive? What is James saying that we need to grab hold to and make a part of our living? That's right. James is saying, grab hold or receive the word. Grab hold or receive the word. James says the implanted word that is able to save your soul. So James is pointing out that the word is important. Yes, it is. And that the word needs to be taken in, implanted, referencing something that is attached. When you implant something, you just don't stick it on. You make sure it is in there. So you want to make sure God's word is in there, and that it's not just not laying on the surface, come on here, but that it is implanted in your heart. What does the psalmist say? Hide the word in my heart. Hide the word. That means you got to put it down so deep that it can't be found. When you hide something, why are you hiding it? So nobody else can find it. So hide the word. Implant the word. Dig it deep inside of you so that it becomes a part of you. Amen. So attach that word. James is saying attach that word to you so it can make a difference in your life. That's that saving your soul. But let's compare again. Remember in our teaching today, we're talking about similarities in James and other verses found in Matthew. So you don't have to turn. I'm going to read it. But Matthew 13 and 23 has a similar teaching. Matthew 13 and 23 has a similar teaching. Here it is. "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Again, the teaching here for us is that the word of God is good and impactful and able to change our living, our mindset, our attitude, able to transform us when we get it implanted in our hearts and in our mind. When we hear the word, when it falls on good ground, come on here, is your heart good ground on today, that when you receive that seed, the seed is the word, when it falls on that good ground, you hear it, and not only do you hear it, but you understand it, you get the illuminated, revealed understanding of the word, and in turn, you're able to bear fruit. And the word of God says here are some 100, some 60, and some 30. You see the correlation of these two verses. One is the teaching on James, who says implant that word in your heart, or receive the implanted word that it may be able to save your soul. And then we go right here to Matthew. And Matthew says, let the word that falls on good ground understood, that you can understand it and that you can produce good fruit. Come on, here's somebody. So you want to see today that the word can transform. That's what we're talking about. The word can transform. It can make a difference in our lives. So you see the similarities between James 21, which tells us to receive the implanted word, and then we go to Matthew 13 and 23, which tells us that the word, when we receive it in good ground, it's those of us who hear it and understand it and allow it to produce good fruit, transform our thinking, transform our attitude, transform our mindset, so we can produce good fruit in abundance too. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so that's some of the things that we're going to be doing in our study here of seeing Jesus in the teachings of James. And so that was just one I wanted to share with you. I came across that and I said, oh yeah, that is good, because that's what we need. We need to have the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds, so it can do the work of transformation. Praise God. I hope you're being blessed right now by this lesson. I know I am. I am truly thankful that we get a chance to share like this. And sometimes when I get an opportunity that grabs hold of some material that I find enjoyable, I'm so happy that I get a chance to share it with you all. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So if I sound a little excited, it's because I am. It's because I am. Because of the ability to find good stuff and not only to keep it, but to share it. So let me just share a little bit of this before we move on to part two. So we see that the epistle or the letter of James is a practical book that discusses living the faith. James talks about not only hearing it, but living it. And we see that again, we see the connection with other teachings in the Bible. Now, I mentioned Matthew and particularly the Sermon on the Mount, but think about this, saints, that we may come back one day. I'm not saying soon, or I'm not saying right after this, but maybe in the near future, we may come back and tackle another book that echoes the practical teachings found in James. And that would be the book of Proverbs. Yes, Proverbs is another book that James kind of finds inspiration in his writing, that he's familiar with some of the teachings found in the book of Proverbs, and you'll see them show up in his letter that he wrote to, again, the Christian Jews. So we see that James was in depth in studying the scriptures for that day. Praise God. So we see it is truly practical over our faith to be doers of the word. It will be seen in how we face our trials. When we put our faith into practice, we can see it in how we face our trials. In the book of James, we'll see when we put our faith into practice, we can see it in the way how we treat people. When we put our faith into practice, we can see it in the things we say. When we put our faith into practice, we will see it in how we deal with the sin that shows up in our lives. And when we put our faith into practice, we would see it in our prayer life. Oh my goodness. So this is some of the things that we hope to glean in our study of the book of James in comparison to the teachings we find in Matthew. All righty. So let's go back to James 1. And if you have your finger on James, Matthew 5, I want you also go to verse 10 through 12. That's Matthew 5, verse 10 and 12. But let me read James 1 and 2. I'm giving you a minute to go to Matthew 5. Put your finger there. So when we go to read there, you'll be right there with us. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. And I'm going to read James 1 and 2. James 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Let me read it again. James 1 and verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. All right. Well, let's go over to Matthew 5, 10 through 12. And it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." Verse 12, "Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew 5, 10 through 12 says you are blessed because you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that you are blessed when others revile you or push against you and persecute you and say all manners of ugly things against you. And it comes back and tell you, don't get upset, don't get mad, don't get fretful, don't get so angry, but instead rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And what did James says? James says, count it all joy when you fall into these trials in your life. So what's the similar teaching found in both of these? Here it is. Joy in the midst of trials. That's the teaching that both of them are sharing with us. That we can find joy, or we need to have joy in the midst of trials. You see it right there. Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. Why? Because you're not the only one that's ever been persecuted. The prophets before you were persecuted for standing up for righteousness' sake. Amen. So get joy in knowing that you count it with those that are willing to share the gospel, the good news. Find joy even when you have to face troubles on every hand. I know it may seem easier to say than do, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can find the joy. Amen. Because we talk it and we need to learn how to really stand on it. The joy that I have, the world didn't give it. Hallelujah. And the world can't take it away because it comes from the Lord. Amen. It's not so much being happy. Not that happy ain't good. Happy is good. But joy is a little bit more sustainable. Amen. And remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we take joy in God and joy in knowing Jesus and joy in fellowship, joy in relationship with Him, that's our strength, y'all. Amen. Praise God. So both teachings says count it all joy, or have joy in the midst of your struggles. Amen. Let's do one more, and then I'm going to open the floor so we can say hello. And then again, remember, I want you to come back and tell us what is your favorite teaching or favorite verse and how impactful it was in your life. So I'm going to give you one more, and then by that time, everybody should have our lesson by next time we come together so that we can all follow along. But let me give you one more. Those of you that are in Matthew 5, go to verse 48 now. Stay right there in Matthew 5 and go to verse 48. And we are going to see the similar teaching found in James 1 and 4. That's right, James 1 and 4 in the teaching in Matthew 5 and 48. Let's read James 1 and 4. James 1 and 4 says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Let me say that one more again. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." What does Matthew 5:48 says? It says, "Therefore you shall be perfect." just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, here again is something we need to understand, and the word perfect here is not the understanding that we have now of the word perfect without any kind of flaw. The word perfect here is an understanding that you need to be mature, you need to be disciplined, you need to be living the life that shows evidence of God in control. So James is saying, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What's the teaching from both of these? The teaching here is an exhortation to be mature and disciplined in our lives. We can put down perfect, but understand perfect is not you won't make mistakes, because that's not true. And perfect is not you won't do anything wrong. We know that's not true, because the word tells us that all of us fall short of the glory of God. So the perfect here is being mature, being disciplined, showing evidence that God is in control of your life and that you're not following self. Come on here. But that you are filled with the Spirit and is following what the Spirit say and lead. Amen. And what you find in the Word. So how or what causes us to want to be this way? Because we want to emulate our Father in heaven. That's right. We want to be like him. We want to strive to be like our Father in heaven. Peter says it like this, be holy for God is holy. Amen. Praise God. So that's what we are striving to do as children of God, is to become more like Jesus. Amen. In our talk, in our ways, in our actions, in our behavior, in our love for the Father, in our witnessing of the Father, we want to be more like Jesus. All right. Well, I want to stop right there. Somebody circle it. So next week when we come together, we all know where we're starting from. I want to stop right there, give everybody the opportunity to take hold of all that we're saying, and also prepare you for when you receive your lesson, you can jot in those things that we talked about. But I just want to say to you all today, I praise God for you, and I thank God for you, and I pray you are blessed by what you are receiving. And anytime you want to share with me things that you may not understand, things that you're not quite sure of, reach out. That's right. Our lessons are on our website. And if you don't have the opportunity to get a copy, you can always go to our website. We thank our Sister Deborah Figures and our Sister Constant Boyd and our Elder Hawkins for making sure everybody gets a copy of our lesson. But anytime you feel the need to have even extra, or you want to send friends and family there, go to our website and scroll down to the Bible Breakfast Fellowship section, and you can retrieve our current lessons as well as those that we've archived, past lessons that we've gone over, and even our Sister Deborah makes sure these tapings are a part of our lesson. So we want to thank you again for joining us here for our Bible Breakfast Fellowship, and we pray that you've been blessed by our lesson today, seeing Jesus in the teachings of James. And as we close out, continue to keep God first and foremost as we journey through these challenging times. Know he is with us. In his word, he tells us, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. May you be blessed, and may heaven continue to smile upon you, is our prayer indeed.